Ephesians 6:10. I'm sorry. 6:10. Finally, my brother, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not your own. Amen? Put on the what? Whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery or the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, and not in your own. How are you going to be strong in the Lord? Training. Everyone say training. Practice makes perfect, doesn't it? We've heard that our whole lives. Training. That means fight. Challenges. Disappointments. Overcoming these things. Discouragements. How about rejections? Did you ever make a mistake? Don't lift your hands. Emotional distresses. How about betrayal? Anybody ever betrayed you? Everybody's been betrayed one way or another. So we must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And this is done by his training. Training for reigning. Amen. One of the things God is doing right now, he's resetting your destiny. He's resetting all of our destinies. There's a tremendous reset going on in the spirit. Things that we thought we were going to do and things that we thought people were going to be involved with us, we're finding out that our things are changing. Globally, the whole body is in a holy shift. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1. So to be strong, it means you got to work out. God works us out by training, by trials and tribulations. You get stronger. When I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. That means God is preparing something. Everybody's going through a shift and a sift. But that's okay. Because God is removing things so that we can move and fit in the call of that purpose and destiny. He's making everything what? New. Everything's becoming new now. You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace. What's grace? God's plan. So what's he saying? Be strong in the plan. That is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to who? Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Teach them what? Teach them the things that they've been trained by. You therefore must endure. Everyone say endure. Hardship. Anybody ever have hardship? Don't lift your hands. We could all lift our hands and feet, right? We've all endured hardship as good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in the athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules or according to the word of God, not the letters of God. A hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. A good soldier, strong in the plan and purpose of destiny. We have a call, we have a purpose, and we have a destiny to complete. We are called to battle. We have a purpose to fulfill. and we have a destiny to complete. Is everybody with me? I'm going to say it again. We are called to battle. We have a purpose to fulfill and a destiny to complete. That's why God is resetting. We're learning more things spiritually. We're learning how to warfare more. There's all kinds of things that's going on. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Reset. Woohoo. Is everybody there? Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord or the correcting, nor be what? Discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he what? He chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening or training, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, or which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. You know, let that penetrate. Every one of us is going to go through stuff. Every one of us is going to be chastened. Every one of us is going to learn by training. And so many people get so offended because they don't want to go through the training. There isn't one athlete out there that didn't go through training before he became good. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them. But we for our profit, that he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness or his character. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. But what? But what? It's painful. It's an inner pain. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been what? Trained by it. Welcome to Holy Ghost Boot Camp, Officers Training School. Amen. Trained? You're either going to be trained or offended. You're going to get hurt, but it can be turned into training, or you can let hurt be turned into offense. Amen? We have entered a new era of time where a shift of destiny and a sifting of individuals is aligning by God to fit into the resetting of our destiny. There's sifting and shifting going on right now. And it's realigning us. It's a strategic plan to those who genuinely deny their self. Hallelujah. It's a strategic plan by God. 1 John chapter 2. Do you want me to repeat some of that? Okay, we're going to either be trained or offended. Amen? Because the hurt's going to come no matter what. We have entered a new era of time where a shift of destiny and a sifting of individuals is aligning by God. And its purpose is to fit into the resetting of destiny. It is a strategic plan from God to those who are genuinely denying themselves. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Hallelujah. Little children, it is the last hour, and if you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. Now listen. Not everyone who starts with a ministry or starts will stay. Amen? They not all, will all stay. Some are not willing to understand the depths of God's training and will try to find an easier way out. Some, why? Because God is going to use a time and period to fulfill an individual's destiny, and he'll use ministries and other places and trainings and teachings. And some of them he'll move into another place to fit into the destiny. And some he'll keep there to continue to train up. But some of them will leave because the training is too hard. Is everybody okay? Yes. Verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, or you understand this now. Amen? Not every one of you who started will stay. They won't stay true. Not willing to understand the depths of God's training. There is a depthness of his training that we must understand. If God be for me, who can be against me? That he loves me unconditionally, no matter what I'm going through. You know, many of us, even in our childhood, we've been abused by our families, our parents, mother, father, whatever. But you know what we did? We forgave them. The Bible tells you, honor your mother and your father no matter what. I had a rough childhood. I'm not going to go into it, but... Man, I wanted to die as a young kid. I didn't want to live that way. I lived in fear as a child. Not that I wasn't loved, but they had a strange way of showing it. And in that carried on. It carried on in my life, and it carries on in everyone's life. Now we've carried those things on, but now God is cutting all of these things loose. After I became saved and born and filled with the Spirit of God, I realized, just like Jesus said on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. Forgive them for they know not what they do. And I say that a lot. Forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. So, Lord, I forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. You know, we have a saying here, who told you that, right? That's because you don't know what you're doing. Who told you that, man? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Resetting your destiny. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. For what? Training. That the genuineness of your faith, genuineness, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We've been grieved by various trials of training. to fit and into your new resetting destiny. Exposing counterfeit faith. God is looking for genuine faith to hold on and let God build. Genuine faith. People that are genuine. You want to be around people that are genuine, not fake, not counterfeit. And God is beginning to remove people that are counterfeit and place them with the counterfeits. And those that are faithful, that are genuine, with those that are genuine. It's the separation now. Because if individuals stay in the location and try and fit into something, they're not supposed to be a part of that destiny, it isn't going to work. It's caused division in the house. Hallelujah. All glory. Many separated for training, some to return and fulfill, and some to move on to the rest, the reset destiny. Resetting your destiny. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. That's why God says all things can work to the good, right? But that word work means trained. You got to be trained. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Are we there? Behold, I send you out as what? Sheep and what? Amidst of wolves. Well, what you call that, man? That's called training. I send you out as sheep in a midst of wolves. Why? So you can be attacked, so you can be persecuted, so you can be rejected, so you can be betrayed. So all of these things can happen to you. Therefore be what? Wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. Send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves for training. So you're either going to be trained or offended. Amen. Many won't fulfill their training and they will try to run. Doesn't the word tell us that in the latter days people have itchy ears? Amen. Because they're going to look for some place or somewhere where it's easier. But when the stuff really starts happening, only the strong in the spirit will be able to carry the others out that have been taken captive. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into what? The wilderness. Being what? Tempted. Hello. For 40 days by the devil, Jesus was being trained. So if he's got to go through it, so do we. And in those days, he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, the devil's going to challenge you in your identity. And he's going to challenge you through trials and tribulations and through people. He doesn't come up to you and challenge you personally. Command this stone to become bread. Jesus did not try and prove himself. He didn't try to defend himself. He just used the word of God, the words that he spoke. It is written. man shall not live by bread alone, but every word, not every letter, every word of God. And he was tempted three times. There was three levels of temptation, of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, what they call pride of life, or lust of life. Jesus was sent to be tempted and trained in all three levels of lust. And he overcame with the word of God. Joshua chapter 5. And verse 12, Joshua 5:12. Now, this is pretty powerful. Verse 12, it says, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate food of the land of the Canaan that year. So, excuse the expression, but God was no longer giving them baby food. Does everybody understand that? I mean, it wasn't baby food, but he was saying, you're going to have to get trained. We're changing this. We're going to change things around. So there came a time when they had to learn how to do things to live off the land. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or our adversaries? And he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. So who was that? Jesus. He's the commander. And Joshua did what? Fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So you, no angel is going to do that. That was the Lord, the commander of the what? Army. Of the what? Army. See, so many people take Christianity as wimpiness. Oh, you hurt me. Oh, this. Oh, that. People need to man up and women up. We are to be soldiers in this war. It's a spiritual war. I didn't say you wouldn't be offended. I didn't say you wouldn't be hit. It's what you do with it. If you accept it as a place of training. Many of us lost our children and families and all kinds of stuff. They might not have forgiven you, but you forgive them. And forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. You're cutting yourself loose, and you're cutting them loose in hope that they will come to their senses. Does everybody get this? Why? Because we're soldiers. Our focus is homebound. Our focus is to drive out the enemy from the land. Our focus is to stand before God. It doesn't say we won't make mistakes, but everything that's under the blood is covered. Amen? So you repent. Lord, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I'm thinking, what I'd like to do to that person. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No more baby food. Time to fight. The commander Jesus was there with them. The Lord of the army. He said, come on, man. Everybody knows the story of Gideon, right? I mean, he thought he was a moron. And then the angel showed up and called him a man of God, a valor, a warrior. And he's like, what? What do you mean? Me? See, he didn't know who he really was. But that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to be a wimp in the spirit. He doesn't want you to fight. He doesn't want you to stand strong in the power of the Lord. He wants you to cave in all the time and go, woe is me. Woe is me. There's a lot of woes of me's. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Matthew 16, verse 11. Glory. We said this last time. No pain, no what? Gain. Matthew 16, verse 11. Hallelujah. In verse 11, Jesus said, how is that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In other words, their wickedness, their deceptions. Why? What is he warning them about them? Look at this. Then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Why? Because they were led by the letter, not the word. To them, it was the letter. And the letter kills, and the spirit brings life. Beware of the religious spirits that persecute the righteous of things they do not understand. They're the same ones that killed Jesus. Luke 22, 31. Glory. Is everybody there? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Why? Because he knew he was going to blow it. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I mean, think about this. That's so powerful. Jesus knew Simon would reject the test of training. He would deny Jesus, wouldn't he? But would eventually come to his senses and God would reset his destiny. Oh, hallelujah. And then what was he going to do? Testify to his brethren. Philippians 2:12. Is everybody getting this? Resetting your destiny. Philippians 2:12. Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Is everybody there? Okay. Philippians 2:12. Let's speak it. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who does what? Works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Wow. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing. Why? Because you're in training. That you may become blameless, harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast the word of life, not the letter of life. the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You must work out, practice, train. By what? Trials, attacks, and temptations. It's all a part of training. Welcome to the earth. You know, when you think about it, this whole planet was set up for a training facility. It's an eternal training facility. God allowed all this stuff to happen. But we're being trained for more than what's going on here. We're being trained for not only destiny here, but eternal destiny. Ecclesiastes 3:16. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Uh-oh. Where'd you go? Ecclesiastes 3, I think it's 3:16. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Where do I got it? Okay, be that way. I forgot where it is. Let's go to James 1:12. James 1:12 instead. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Okay, James 1:12. Is there anybody there? Good. Let's speak it together. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. What's temptation? Training. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires, and then what? Enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. So if anyone is a hearer and not a doer of the word, what is he listening to? What is he listening? He's only utilizing the letter, not the word. Amen? Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Wow. We must be hearers of the word of God, not of the letter of God. It's different. Amen? Praise God. Then we'll go to Ecclesiastes 3:16. Everybody okay? We there? Resetting our destiny. Moreover, I saw under the sun, in a place of judgment, wickedness was there, and in a place of righteousness, iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose, for every work. Why? We're called, amen? We have a purpose and we have a destiny. I said in my heart concerning the condition of the sons of men, God tests them, that they may see that they are themselves like animals. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them, as one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for it is all vanity. All go to the place, all from the dust, and all return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of man which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal which goes to the earth? So I perceive that nothing is better than that man should rejoice in his own work, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Wow. God judges for the purpose and the work. In other words, he's judging us if we're fulfilling purpose, if we're willing to be trained. Why? We're being trained to be called with a purpose and a destiny. Everything is shifting and moving. He is fitting us in certain places and preparing us for better things to come. Let me tell you, when the things really start to happen, see, we haven't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen nothing yet. But those who are willing to be trained now will be prepared for that. Those that are not willing to be trained won't be prepared. And I'm going to close at Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Hallelujah. Resetting your destiny. Everybody there? Let's speak it. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God. If you love him, you obey him, right? To those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So to be conform to his image, we have to go through the same trials Jesus did, the same training. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, and God who judges, not man. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So don't freak out as you're going through stuff. Go through it. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. Unfortunately, some of our own family hates us. But it is what it is. God, deal with them. Remember, forgiveness is not always reconciliation. You must let God be God and work out your own salvation in the training and preparation, because everything is a reset right now globally. Globally. And it's no coincidence that we have reset technology now. Pretty wild. And to him be the glory, amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And I pray for each and everyone that's the seed has been planted in them, that they would be prepared for the reset, because it's a greater and better and more glorious thing than we could imagine. Lord, just help us to hold on till we hit that place of reset, which is going to catapult us into the future. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We are honored and blessed. Visit us, establish us, and perfect us for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.